All right, meeting will come to order. Let's begin with a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's probably Shannon. Yeah.
This is Monday, February 26, 2018. This is a public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice is published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice and agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Filas?
Here.
Mr. Glaser?
Here.
Mr. Lefkus?
Here.
Dr. Lewis?
Here.
Mr. Mattson?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Absent.
And Mr. Yeager?
Absent.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I'm going to run down the agenda briefly. New business, we have vouchers, meeting minutes, none to approve. We have three resolutions to talk about. It's Marilyn, her. I just noticed a typo there. 111 Cokesbury Road and Malay. Request for extension of time from Platypus. The applicant has requested that be pulled off the agenda. We'll talk about why that is when we get there. And then revocation of approval without prejudice for the Fox Meadow properties. So that's it. Anyone else have anything to add to the list? Okay. And starting from the top, vouchers, I've reviewed them. They all look to be in order. To me, it was a little bit thicker stacked than the previous months. So I move that we approve payment of the bills. Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? We got seven. Right. Everybody votes. Okay. Meeting minutes, we have nine. So, John, you want to start with Marilyn Herr?
Yes. This is resolution number 2017-12, and this is version 8 that I emailed out this afternoon. So, okay, that's good. And I'm very happy to report that we have an agreement on version 8 with today's date, and the Herr's attorney has agreed as to form, and I, as your attorney, recommend to you that you adopt this resolution, because I believe that the body of the resolution accurately reflects what the board did, and I believe that the conditions are consistent with what the board did and what the intent was. If you look at the transcript, what page number did I...
It's near
the back. It's page 79 to 81. When the applicant asked, listen, you know, we'd like to bring the tenant in. He's living in a hotel. And I even said, with this resolution, we're going to have a lot of questions. But the board decided to get the guy in to let him get in before the resolution was done. So maybe in the future, maybe there's a lesson to be learned in that. But that's not – let's just talk about this resolution. This resolution now, in my opinion, it's – I believe it should be acceptable to the board members, and I can represent that the HERS attorney says it's acceptable to the HERS.
John, could you read the change you made on page 11 into the record, please?
Yes. So there are two changes. The first change is in condition one. These are the restrictions on the rental. And the starting with the second to last sentence, I'm going to read those two sentences, and then I'm going to explain what was changed. The second-to-last sentence of Condition 1 says, the property owner, occupants of the principal dwelling, as well as occupants of the apartment, shall allow the township zoning officer on the property and into the strikeout dwelling and into the garage and apartment on the property at reasonable times to inspect for compliance with all conditions set forth in the within resolution. And quite frankly, I didn't get asked to remove the dwelling until today. I think the reason the dwelling was there in the beginning was it was left over from the condition about the bedrooms, which the board decided last month to authorize me to change and to put the condition about if they wanted to add bedrooms going to the county department of health for approval. And it just never dawned on me to pull out dwelling and they're 100% right mm-hmm. now that that's been changed. So that's the only change in condition one, is taking out the word dwelling and leaving the inspection in the garage and apartment on the property. Now, there's no other change in condition one in this version 8. The bigger change in condition one was it's only the zoning officer now that has the permission to do the inspection. It's not the construction code official, and it's not the township engineer. It seemed to me to try to get this thing done that, you know what, the zoning officer, he's in charge of zoning enforcement anyway, and that's what we're talking about here. So I gave in on that, and I believe that the board would have wanted me to do that. Mm-hmm. Condition two, the first two sentences remain the same. There's an additional long run-on sentence, which I figured the board would have no problem with. And this is just not something that I ever contemplated before. But again, this came up today. The issue was, what if the Marilyn Hurd decides, you know what, this isn't working out too well for me. I want to get rid of the whole thing, and I want to take that deed restriction off. Or what if, while she's living there, it's working out great for her, but when she goes to sell, what if the deed restriction scares someone off? So what we did was, and the blue is Nicole's draftsmanship, and the red is my draftsmanship. This is a true,
Collaboration.
Collaboration, that's the word I'm looking for. This is a true collaboration of the two attorneys for the varying parties when they put their heads together to try to satisfy both of their clients. This is what being in the legal profession is all about. So the last run-on sentence says, upon voluntary relinquishment of the apartment use by the owner, via written notice received by the secretary of the board, the owner shall remove the apartment kitchen and, comma, upon the board adopting a written resolution, voiding the within resolution and approval, comma, the applicant may record a deed removing the deed restriction provided herein, comma, after it shall be first reviewed and found acceptable to the township attorney, period. And with those two changes, this is acceptable.
Is it the township attorney, not the board attorney?
That's right. I always make these things a township attorney and not the board attorney. Why?
Yeah.
I'm so involved with doing the resolution.
It's an independent view.
Right. Yeah. I want an independent, unbiased set of eyes looking at deed restrictions, looking at easements, and things like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And also, if you think about it, a deed restriction is for the benefit of the township, not really the Board of Adjustment. So if you had two attorneys, you had the Board of Adjustment attorney and you had the Township attorney, it's more, you know, in their job description now, they're going to call me, obviously. But it's better, and I think it's more appropriate that it be the Township attorney. And I don't mind giving up the charges to the escrow and reviewing them.
Yeah, right. Okay. Are there any other comments or questions? Everyone? Okay. Motion to adopt.
Page 12. I did change, and I noted to them, this was set up for a January 22 adoption. I changed it to February 26, and you'll see Mr. Olson's name is there. And this has happened to me on a couple boards over the years. What I do is I don't take his name off. I put in parentheses, no longer a member.
Right.
So it's clear his name is there, but he's no longer a member, and that's why he didn't vote on the adoption. It's not that he's absent. It's not that he abstained. He's no longer a member.
But his name was there because he was part of the original vote.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution as presented in version A.
And a second, please. Okay.
I'm sorry. Who was second?
Dr. Booth.
Okay. And Mr. Filas?
Yes.
Mr. Lefkis?
Yes.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
And Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Amen. Well done, John. Well done. You earned your money on that one. Okay, we have two others. 111 Cokesbury Road, your version 2?
Yep.
Any other comments or anyone wants to make on this one?
We got a nice email from the applicant's attorney today. You don't, you know, it's nice when you get one of those saying, you know, what did it say? I sent it to you. Like, it wasn't just it's acceptable. It was like, it wasn't like you did a good job, but it wasn't anything like that either. But
like we're happy with it.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
Okay. Okay. Motion to adopt 2018-01 version 2, please.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Okay. Denise, call the roll.
Mr. Filas?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
I have to abstain. I wasn't able to
receive that
one.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't receive that one.
Oh, right. That's appropriate to abstain. See, that's one of the few times it's appropriate to abstain. Okay. I did not have his email address when I sent this out,
right.
And we didn't get it to him until late in the day. He couldn't read it, so it's appropriate to abstain.
Yes. I mean, I would read it later.
Yeah, no, very good, very good. Yeah.
Mr. Lefkas?
Yes.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
No, I'm not a voter on
it. Not a voter.
That's right, you weren't here.
Mr. Roberts?
I put that in. Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager's absent.
Absent. Okay. And last, we have Amy Malay, Resolution 2018-02, version 2 on this one also.
Yep.
Any other comments since the draft, John?
Nope.
Anyone else have any comments, questions?
I have the one point of clarification I asked you about. I was unclear about...
He had a very good question.
The setback was the 180 or the 75 for the...
His question was, if the township... I'm going to put words in there.
Yeah, of course, please.
If the township has this special ordinance, right, that allows additions if lots are grandfathered, why wouldn't the variance be from the special regulation? And what the board has always done, at my advice, and in fact it was very interesting because the Malays were told by the zoning officer that, no, they only needed a variance from the 75. And the Malays even knew, no. So we need a variance from the 180. Mm-hmm. Because my interpretation and the board's interpretation has been this special ordinance, which is ordinance section 165-91, yeah, 91B.
Mm-hmm.
If you satisfy those conditions, then you can do an addition on a property that's undersized and for a house that violates the new setback. If you don't meet the conditions of that ordinance,
you go back.
The ordinance doesn't apply.
Got it.
In other words, the purpose of the ordinance is to let you do an addition variance-free. The purpose of the ordinance is not to reduce the setbacks.
I see.
And then you get a variance from the reduced setbacks.
Okay.
It's to give you the get-out-of-jail card, but if you don't satisfy the conditions of get-out-of-jail, then you apply off the current ordinance like anyone else.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, it just so happens if you apply off the current ordinance, the magnitude of the hardship, you know, is exposed for what it is. So I've always said that they missed the 75 foot by 5 feet. They had 70 feet.
Right.
So if someone asked me, well, you know, what if, you know, okay, it's a clear hardship because if you take 180, right, the whole house is in the front yard setback. You know, that's a classic hardship. I mean, if you didn't grant something, they couldn't do anything.
Right.
When you decide the extent, how much they want to do, then you could consider that, hey, you know what? The township has said if you met 75 feet, you'd get a get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, you get a freebie. So 70 feet, when you're looking at the negative criterion, maybe, you know, it's not that bad. It's not a substantial impairment of the intent and purpose of the zoning ordinance, because the zoning ordinance has a special provision. But what if they, you know, look, if the house was at 35 feet, and again, they're going straight up 35 feet, again, maybe it's not a problem. But if the house is at 70 feet, and they want to do an addition into the front yard,
different conversation.
There's a different conversation. And then the magnitude, wait a minute, you know, the current ordinance is really 180.
Mm-hmm.
So you really shouldn't, your baseline shouldn't really be 75.
Oh, okay, I get it. Thank you.
And we've had this in a few cases in the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It seems to me you get, like, one of these cases every 2 years or so.
Hmm.
Does it seem like to you? One of these sort of things, like, every 2 years?
Yeah, we had one on
Was it Hampden Road? Was that one? Town took land from one and swapped it with land across the street. Was that one of them?
I don't even remember.
I was thinking of the one on Valley.
Wait a minute. They did a garage. They did a garage on the side of the house.
Was that?
And that was.
Valley Crest was the one.
I remember
they were
for about like
bedroom above the garage.
A month.
Setback.
Right. So many.
But they were on the same.
All the boards.
I know. I got seven boards.
The windows
and
in the front.
Figure
right.
I do between 10 and 20 resolutions for each board. So I'm doing somewhere between 70 to 150 resolutions a year. Yeah. So it's like I'm good for about a month, and then after that, it's like
too much.
Right. Motion to adopt, please.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Okay, Denise, call the roll, please.
Mr. Filas?
Yes.
And Mr. Glaser, you're going to abstain?
This one, yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Lefkas?
Yes.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
And Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, so next we had on the agenda request for extension of time from Platypus, and they have asked to be pulled off of the agenda. John, you want to explain this, or you want me to?
I'd rather explain it.
Okay.
Okay, so to make a very long story as short as possible, it was reported to me by a non-board member, just so you know, this thing started, a non-board member said to me, or raised the question, whether or not they were using the site. And did they have permission to use the site? I was like, no, they don't have permission to use the site because they got an approval, but they haven't even revised the plans. They haven't even been signed yet. Mm-hmm. So in order to use the site, you need the plan signed. So it was then suggested to me that rather than try to go through, you know, zoning enforcement, whatever, that I just, since they're going to be here on an extension in any event, that I, as a matter of courtesy, I contacted the applicant's attorney and said, hey, and this is the beginning of last week, it was reported to me that, you know, there are vehicles on the site and everything, so your client's using the site. Probably be a good idea if you stop that and clear all the vehicles out before Monday night, because I'll bet you that a couple board members might do a drive-by, and they might see vehicles there, and it might not be your normal, you know, walk-in-the-park extension. To make a very long story short, it looks like the vehicles were cleared out, maybe, maybe not, but you guys can do your own walkthrough. It might be that there's a next-door neighbor. There's no question that there were vehicles on the site. Okay, and I can't say there's no question. It appears that a lot of those vehicles and or all of those vehicles that belong to the applicant on the site were probably cleared out sometime between Saturday and Sunday. There's a neighbor who also has some equipment. And if you, depending on how you drive by the site and you look in, for example, if you were to go by and you saw a yellow backhoe, apparently that backhoe does not belong to Platypus or the owner of Platypus. That backhoe, you're actually looking over the property line, I've been told at least, and that belongs to the neighbor. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is the applicant is not in the state. The applicant's attorney had somewhere else to be. They were just assuming, you know, but the board has done this in the past. The board has granted extensions without the applicant or the client having to be here. If there's a problem, then they say, listen, can we have an adjournment and we'll show up. So they asked for the adjournment because they thought they might have a problem. And I'm sure you guys probably will have questions for them when they're here next month, but they'll be here in person, and then you can ask. Because as a board member, you're not a witness, but as a board member, if you drive by the site and you see equipment on there, you can, fair game, you can ask them. Okay. What's the deal? I saw equipment. What were you doing?
So we'll expect them to be here next month.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So moving on, last we have is revocation of approval without prejudice for Fox Meadow. And we have
Let me explain this one. You don't get many of these.
This is a letter dated February 5. I mean, this is one I remember. Maybe you guys will remember. It started with Ted and Eunice Bench, mm-hmm. and then they created an LLC, Fox Meadow Properties. And this is a large property, but to get to it, you have to cross the railroad track. And the board was concerned about the safety. And to make a very long story short, the board granted a number of variances to allow a single-family home to be built there. And they kept on extending, and at this point, they don't want to proceed with the project, but they know that if they don't do anything, by virtue of the condition of the resolution, it becomes null and void. Mm. And they're worried about if it becomes null and void, what does that mean? Could they ever bring it back? So the guy came up with an imaginative way of handling it and said, listen, he asked me, what do I think? If he sent a letter saying, I want to, you know, abandon the application, but you guys, I know when someone abandons something, you dismiss it, but dismiss it without prejudice, so if they want to come back with this application in the future, they can. I was like, you know what? Sounds like a good idea to me, so that's what they've requested. So the request is, they're abandoning the approval, but mm-hmm. when you dismiss it, they're asking that you dismiss it without prejudice, so that they could bring another application in the future.
Abandon them, do we ever stipulate that we're doing it with prejudice?
That's what the chairman asked me.
Yeah.
When it court orders, right, mm-hmm. if you have a court order and it's a dismissal, unless it says with prejudice, the court rule says it's without prejudice. Mm-hmm. But there's no case in the land use.
So silence means?
In court, silence means without prejudice.
Okay.
But there's no case yeah. in the land use context. So why have an issue out there?
Yeah.
So do the dismissal if he's asking without prejudice.
Okay.
But practically speaking, if they come back, they have to redo the application.
Correct.
Right, the same normal process.
Right, but if it's with prejudice, that means the legal doctrine of res judicata mm-hmm. applies, and they wouldn't be able to apply for the same thing that they had before
okay.
if it was dismissed.
Right.
That's what they're guarding against. So this is a well-thought-out abandonment bill. Yeah, the record should reflect that Ms. Stevens is here.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm late.
She'll be able to vote on this.
It's a time change.
Oops.
Oh, I wasn't here at the flu last time, and then I just didn't see it.
Oh, I have it in the email.
I'm sure you did. I'm sorry.
So we just send them a letter saying
that? No. The way to do it, someone make a motion to dismiss it without prejudice. I'll do like a one-page or a one-and-a-half-page resolution that's dismissing it without prejudice. That way you have a piece of paperwork okay. in the file, not only recognizing this thing was dismissed, but it was dismissed without prejudice, and they had the same thing.
Hey, John, I'm just looking at the letter and thinking about do we need a basis for dismissing without prejudice? No case is really made in the letter. I know that you've had a conversation, which is not part of the record.
Right, we'll put it this way. If you don't dismiss without prejudice, I would think that you would need, let's say it wasn't this. Let's say it's something that you haven't done many times, but you've done maybe twice over the last, 15 years. Application is before you, and there's an objector. Mm-hmm. And the application's not going too well for the applicant. The objector's killing him.
Yeah.
So the applicant says, I'm going to withdraw the application. You guys have a board rule that says someone can withdraw an application unilaterally before the hearing starts. Once the hearing starts, they need your permission.
Right.
And the board can impose conditions. So, and this has happened once. This was a self-storage unit with Lloyd Tubman as the applicant.
Yeah.
And there were some neighbors that objected. It was a D variance. And they got through, like, three hearing sessions, and Lloyd was like, she knows what's going to happen. It's going to be a denial. They want to cut their losses. Mm-hmm. And then one of the objectors said, this is not fair. We've spent our time. They hired an expert. We spent our money. And so I suggested to the board that it's either a dismissal with prejudice, or if they want a dismissal without prejudice, which is what they were asking for, then subject it to a condition, they reimburse.
Yep, right.
The expert. So here, right, there is no objector. There is nothing to reimburse. So I would think to do it with prejudice, you...
No, I wasn't arguing for that. I'm saying whenever we reach a conclusion and pass a resolution, it has to be on the basis of either testimony and facts that we evaluate against the laws. And in this case, we don't have that.
Well, he says the client is not proceeding further, and they don't want to allow the approval to expire. They want to be able to reapply at a future date. That's what the third sentence says.
Tom, I think one of the advantages...
I'm not arguing against it.
I just think it's good for future board members to look at it, the fact that without prejudice, there was no issue other than timing.
But Tom is saying...
I'm not arguing, right. Ben. I want to make sure that when the resolution is written, it has proper justification.
Yeah, I'm going to take that third paragraph, which is one, or the fourth paragraph, which
we
is one sentence.
Can simply do it upon the request of the applicant?
Yeah.
Isn't that justification enough?
No.
It doesn't say.
The applicant.
It's not in here.
The applicant has stated that they're not proceeding further, and they don't want to allow the approval to expire. They want to be able to reapply at a future date. Therefore, they requested that it be dismissed. Are you kidding me? It doesn't say dismissed without prejudice in this letter?
What paragraph? Am I reading the wrong letter here?
You know what? Tom, you're right. He doesn't say without prejudice, but I'm telling you, that's what he means. Look.
I know he means.
Client will not be proceeding at this time. They don't want to allow the approval to expire. They want to reapply at a future date. I'm taking that sentence, and I'm saying if you add one, and one together, you get three. Three is a dismissal without prejudice.
And they may reapply at some future date. So that's sufficient justification. I'm all in favor of what you're saying. I just want to make sure that the case is based on sound legal principles. When you write up, no one comes back and says, well, they didn't ask for it, that's all.
Yeah.
And does it establish a precedent that we'd have to follow in the future?
Well, whether precedent or not,
put it this way,
particular case.
That fourth sentence... As a lawyer, I interpret as a request for a dismissal without prejudice, because that's the only thing that will let him do what he's asking to do in that
so
paragraph.
So it's your legal advice based on what he's requested. Okay, that's all. I just want to make sure that we've got the justification correct.
It's kind of, you know what's interesting? So as a lawyer, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, now I can see. As a non-lawyer, as a layman, you're like, where does it say dismiss without prejudice in this letter?
I'm just checking
the I get it, I get it, I get it.
I'm looking for all the words in here.
I get it.
Keeping you honest.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone have a problem with this?
Nope. But again, it doesn't establish something that in the future we're always having to do this? Or
I wasn't even asking about precedent. I'm just saying.
Oh, I am actually now.
Okay, so just so you know, this is a question I can absolutely answer in public.
Okay.
Boards of Adjustment, New Jersey Supreme Court case law said you have to decide cases on a case-by-case basis.
Answered. Perfect.
Okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Technically... Mm-hmm. There is no precedent. Now, I will tell you that there's case law that says you can't treat people unequally.
Sure.
So if you have a course of conduct, and then even though it's case by case,
you
have to make sure that what you're doing is not discriminatory and you're not doing unequal treatment. But that's close to precedent, but that's not precedent.
Hey, John, it just raises one other point that you said but wasn't in here. There were no objectors in this case.
No objectors.
And that might be worth putting in the resolution.
Include that.
I'll also do that. Very good.
One question I have that wasn't related to the resolution at all, but their big holdup was trying to get a response from the railroad. Do we know if they ever did?
Doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter to the resolution, but...
Well, do you want me to tell you what I know or not? I'd rather ask me after.
Okay.
Yes,
doesn't matter.
Okay. Motion to, is it a dismissal?
Dismissal without prejudice based on their request as set forth in the fourth sentence of their letter. It's not a denial. You approved it.
Yeah, what do we dismiss?
You're revoking. That's why we have. You know what? That's why Denise.
Yeah, revocation.
It's revocation.
Right.
Read it right off here. Right off the agenda. That's how we worded it.
So before we vote, can I vote?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, because I. Okay.
Yep. You came in and we had just started the discussion.
Oh,
you heard everything.
I didn't know.
It wasn't a lot before you came in.
Okay.
But if we're revoking, does it have to be the members who were on the board when that was approved?
Nope.
Okay.
The only time you need the members who heard a case, if someone came in for reconsideration or reopening, then it's only those who heard it. But when someone comes in, if they want an amendment,
It's a new case, yeah.
New case. Revoke it, new matter.
Okay.
Extend it, new matter. Can you think of something else?
Modification of a condition in resolution?
Very good. New matter.
Most often it's a new matter.
Reconsider?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not a new matter.
Only people who
right.
considered.
This is the same matter.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion to...
Revoke the approval without prejudice to allow them to reapply in the future.
Okay. So moved. Okay. Second?
Second.
Denise?
I'm sorry. Who was second? Wayne?
Wayne.
Mr. Filas?
Yes.
Mr. Lefkas?
Yes.
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Drill.
No, but now you're the eighth one.
Right.
Now the chair, I'm sorry. So you voted before, but now she just bumped you out.
That's perfect. No, I understand.
Don't they always have the right to come back
voted all
in the future, even if we didn't, if we read
No, no, because under the doctrine of res judicata, if you dismiss something, like if you deny it with prejudice, they can't reapply for the same thing. If you dismiss it with prejudice, technically, under res judicata, they can't come back for the same thing. They have to make a substantial change.
Okay. All right.
And they want to be able to come back
for the same thing.
For the same
basically
thing.
Basically, resubmit
okay.
the paperwork.
Yeah. And again, what this has done is, instead of it becoming void and having that unknown, what does that mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause?
I have just one thing, if I could, just a little bit of a housekeeping thing. If I could have all board members please try and respond to me to let me know if you're going to be coming to the meeting. Tonight was a quick meeting, but it's, for example, this time there were four people that didn't respond, and it's typically the same people, and it's typically on a monthly basis. And it's hard for me to know who's coming and who's not coming. You know, I have to kind of set up the room, and if they're is a large application and there's a lot going on, it just makes it difficult. I honestly did not know that I had a quorum for sure until today. So it's just helpful if you guys could please just get back to me. I'd appreciate it.
Duly noted.
Very nicely stated.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Done.
So good.
Yeah. So it turns out, right?
Hang on, let me turn this off.
You know, John asked. I always go to the council meeting.